The Domestic and Missionary Society. The Domestic and Missionary Society. What is that? An organization that sends young Gordon men out for a year to evangelize for their church? That is sponsoring many missionaries? No. It's the corporate name of the Episcopal Church. To paraphrase Pogo, we have met the missionaries and they are us. We are to be evangelists. Sounds almost un-Episcopalian, doesn't it? Electionary did not include Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, which is are in the chapter preceding today's gospel. In it, Jesus sent out 12 disciples, empowered with authority over demons to heal the sick, now proclaiming the good news, the nearness of God's kingdom. They are to accept the hospitality if offered and move on if not. The 12 symbolize the 12 Jewish tribes of Israel. It must have been done okay because in verse 6 says, quote, they departed and went through the villages, bringing good news and curing diseases everywhere, unquote. Although I suspect they went to some places that rejected them, and they just moved on as Jesus had instructed them. In today's gospel, Jesus expands the mission to prepare the people for his visits by sending out 70 of his followers in pairs, probably most of his inner circle. He gave the 70 marching orders to travel especially light, to cure the sick, and to kill Jesus. And if rejected, just move on. Every point returned with joy, apparently having succeeded well, perhaps feeling their hopes a little too much, as Jesus reminds them that the reward is in heaven, not on earth. A little lesson in humility in today's gospel. The number 70, many think, symbolized the number of Gentile nations at that time, an indication that Jesus sent to the whole world. Although the initial push to non-Jewish areas was done later by Paul and his followers. Well, what does this message mean to us, to Christ's church? Do we see ourselves as one of the 70? Jesus sending us out to the world in poverty, to find places that need healing, and to announce the kingdom of God? Perhaps, but most probably not. But all of us are called to some sort of mission. All of us. Called by God to transform the world. An awesome job. What abilities, talents, training do we have? Well, it varies with each of us. But our faith in the grace of God is what we need. Bearing witness to our faith is difficult. It is an awesome job. But our faith in the grace of God is what we need. We often feel inadequate with this mission. And Thomas Merton, a well-known Roman Catholic monk and author, wrote a big picture, quote, each of us has some kind of vocation. We are called by God to share in his life and in his kingdom. Each one of us is called to a special place in the kingdom. If we find that place, we will be happy. If we do not find it, we will never be completely happy. For each one of us, there is only one thing necessary: to fulfill our own destiny according to God's will, to be what God wants us to be. Now, witnessing is not only speaking about God's mercy and grace, it's also living life as an example to others that you are indeed a disciple of Jesus Christ. Who you are in the long run can be more important than what you say. The way we treat those whom God places in our lives shows our witness to Jesus Christ. The actual task of prayer. Some forms of empowerment appear to be more impressive and spectacular than others. However, is important. In God's sight is doing your task, whatever it may be, the faithfulness of his mission. As I reflect on the sermon today, some key words came to mind. Some of these key words are patience, rejection, persistence, alertness, and of course, love. Why these? As Jesus predicted for his followers, Christian ministry sometimes results in rejection. And in our possession-based society today, probably more often than acceptance. Bishop Paul said in a sermon, quote, "Salespeople who make cold calls know that they get mostly rejection. They stay focused on a small percent of the line. They don't take the rejection personally." Unquote. And as the gospel says, we laborers are few. So move on with your rejection. However, perhaps because I'm a stubborn Missourian, I believe a little patience and persistence are worthwhile. Patience and persistence are traits admired by nearly everyone. These traits help us to see tasks through, to accomplish things, to arrive at the point where God will, we can make a difference. Often a bridge needs to be built over which your love and words of Jesus can fall. Remember, a bridge needs a base at each end. A person must be prepared to receive, and this often takes time. Why the word alertness? The Episcopalians are not inclined to put loudspeakers on street corners or in mall parking lots. But we are with people all the time in our daily lives. We should be alert to opportunities to carry out Christ's mission. To re-emphasize an earlier point, if we act as Christians, we will influence others in the long run. Who we are is more important than what we say. However, we should witness by word as well as example to get people's attention. We must tell the story as we demonstrate it. And of course, Christian love is our bedrock. Today's second reading wraps up Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul says, in love and power of the Holy Spirit, we should be modest, gentle, support each other in our Christian community. As Paul often tells us, we are not to be weak, but persistent to reap a good harvest. Harvest whose final income we cannot predict. Remember, we are members of a domestic and foreign missionary society. Up to a few years ago, our support for foreign mission was typically limited to a few dollars here or there. However, our project hope for Cajun Caging has turned out, I believe, to be a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Our small diocese, with several depressed areas, has exceeded the original $3.6 million goal and has passed $4 million. Construction on many things is underway in Cajun Caging. But remember, 25% of this is for our various diocesan projects, mission projects. From this, $100,000 is available this year, and I'm honored to be a member of the committee judging applications. Please pray for me. So as we pray for strength, courage, wisdom, love, do God's will individually and corporately, let us remember the answer to the question asked in the baptismal service, be it a priest or deacon. Quote, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Sound familiar? I hope so. Do you remember the answer? You have to remember this. You'll be tested. I will with God's help. I will with God's help. So let's answer together when we hear a priest or deacon say, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Please answer, and
I will, with God's help.
Very good. I'll let you off the hook with that and say amen.